those who have been following the liturgical life for a while are probably not surprised at how we jump right into ordinary time, but it still takes a little bit of a mental adjustment or spiritual adjustment. We just finished the great season of Easter, meaning the whole Lent Easter cycle that concluded with the Feast of Pentecost on Sunday. Then we had yesterday the Feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, which had its own special readings. So today we say jump into Tuesday of the eighth week, and we're in the middle of the Gospel of Mark all of a sudden, Mark chapter 10. Which, if it was purely a human phenomenon, we would say, well, that's too abrupt, it's too jarring. How can you pick up, just jump into the middle of a conversation? But it's not only a human conversation, it's also a divine word. We're pondering the divine word, and that's an eternal word. So you can pick up any word of God any day and find what the Lord is saying, because his word is not bound by time or by the progression of logical arguments. It's a word that also transcends time. Here we are, it's Tuesday of the eighth week and Feast of St. Philip Neri. Maybe it would be a delightful thing to focus on the saint for a little while. He's known as the saint of joy. He had this delightful personality. Recognizing the humor in things, and had a great sense of humor, and he had a great sense of joy. So he was a naturally attractive personality, but he didn't attract people to himself, but to the kingdom of God. So that's a beautiful thing to reflect on. Everyone's unique, of course, and not everyone can be a saint of joy, but we can rejoice that there are such people. But the focus of the scriptures is on St. Peter. St. Peter is the one who speaks up at the beginning of this gospel passage, and St. Peter is the author of the first reading. We were just focusing on Peter on the last days of the Easter season, because on Friday of last week, Jesus had this special instruction for Peter, feed my sheep, do you love me, feed my sheep. And then on Saturday, don't worry about what the beloved disciple is doing, you follow me. So on Friday and Saturday, Jesus renewed the call, follow me, follow me. Well, this gospel today takes us much earlier in Peter's journey. He's already following, and he says this at the beginning of the gospel, we have given up everything and followed you. So in Peter's mind, he's already accomplished the task of following. We gave up everything, we followed you. Okay, now what do we get out of it? Or now what's going to happen? Remember, this passage comes after that sad story about the rich young man whom Jesus also invited to follow him, and the man went away sad because he had many possessions. So he didn't follow, he was trapped by his possessions. This is and Jesus made the instruction how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. And so Peter is thinking about this and saying, well, we're not rich. And in fact, we're poorer than we've ever been. We've given up everything to follow you. Is this going to work? You could see the wheels turning in Peter's mind. Is this going to work? It didn't work for the rich man. How could it work for us? Where is this going? What are we going to get out of this? Now, knowing the whole itinerary of Peter, we can see this is still early on, and he's still quite focused on himself, which is natural to us. We're always thinking about ourselves. It's just part of our nature. But in time, we will be set free from that self-focus and trust more and more in God. This is what Jesus tries to tell Peter. He does tell him, but I don't know how well Peter picked up on it. Jesus' instruction is, well, anyone who's given up all these things is going to receive much more, not only in the next life, but even in this life. 100 times more, and persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. So he's saying to Peter and to us, don't be so focused on what you have given up. Be confident in what you have already received and the more that you will receive, which is beyond your imagination. Don't be so focused on yourself, but focus on God and what He has in mind for you. It's much better. So that's what we have today in the gospel. And Peter probably experienced that as a seed planted in his heart. Oh, there's more. There's more to life than what I gave up. We saw Peter on the Feast of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he stands up and makes his first sermon, quoting the scriptures, calling people to repentance, and it bears the fruit of 3,000 conversions on the day of Pentecost itself. So you can see how much progress he made with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then, much later in his journey, he writes his letters, and today's first reading is a selection from the first letter of Peter. This is the expression of a mature shepherd. It's quite striking to think that the very humble, rather self-focused fisherman from Galilee passed through these stages of self-concern, to self-abandonment, to being filled with the Holy Spirit, to being sent out as a missionary, and here to write this wise counsel for the church. In fact, it's so good and it's so profound that the scripture scholars, who are always causing problems, they say, Peter couldn't have written this. He was a literate fisherman. I couldn't have written this. I don't know what those scripture scholars think about the Holy Spirit, but why couldn't he have written this? He was trained by Jesus for 3 years, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he followed the Spirit ever since. Now, maybe he wasn't a great writer. Maybe his scribe or someone wrote it down for him. That doesn't matter. But this is certainly Peter's instruction to us. I say it's the fruit of a journey of following. He was called to follow. He did follow. He gave up everything to follow. After Jesus rose again, Jesus said to him, follow me more. He said, again, you know, follow me, feed my sheep. He did it. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, he had a very fruitful apostolate, starting with the very day of Pentecost itself, 3,000 converts from one sermon. But listen closely to what he says here. First of all, in this reading, he speaks about how the Holy Spirit has been instructing us through the prophets. Now, when he speaks about the prophets, he's speaking about the Old Testament writings, which now he understands were preparations for what was to come. Those who wrote at the time, the prophets, didn't know all that, but they were led by the Spirit to speak the word of God. And what they spoke has come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is summarizing here. They testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories to follow. The death and resurrection of Christ and the pattern of suffering and glorification that is part of the spiritual journey in everyone, in Jesus and in all his followers. Peter too. Peter was told, you're going to have someone take, you know, put a rope around you and take you where you would rather not go. Eventually, Peter, you'll be martyred and you'll reign in glory. So Peter is saying, this has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. He mentions the Holy Spirit twice in this short passage. Then in the second part of the reading, he gives us some counsel based on what he said. This is the revelation given to us from Old Testament. He didn't know it that way, but the prophets, guided by the Holy Spirit, coming to fulfillment in Christ. And now this is what you should do based on what I just said. Gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, and set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hopes on what is to come. Set your hopes on the promise. It's actually the very thing that Jesus told Peter way back here in Mark chapter 10. Don't be so worried about what you've given up. It's nothing by comparison to what you will receive. That's what hope gives us. Hope makes it possible for us to let go of what is past, let go of what is merely earthly, and hope for what is in the future, hope for what is better, much better. That's what Peter's saying here. Live soberly. Don't get caught up in the appealing distractions of the moment. Set your hopes on what is to come. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance. He's certainly thinking of his own former ignorance when he thought he was doing such a great job following Jesus. We've given up everything to follow you. And now look at how complete our response has been. He didn't know that because of his ignorance that he was going to deny the Lord three times, that he was still weak and fearful and timid and still relying on himself. He didn't know it at the time. That's his former ignorance. And that's the kind of ignorance we're in all the time. We don't know how weak we are or how badly we will fail. And God doesn't even bother to tell us because it would only discourage us. But he does tell us, don't get caught up in that. Don't get trapped by the desires of your former ignorance. Everyone's humanity, everyone has natural desires, and they don't change all that much. I mean, maybe as we get older, they might diminish, or we might be purified because we realize, oh, that was an earthly desire anyway. But the desires don't change all that much. What happens is we're set free. We don't have to listen to them. We don't have to comply to every hunger. Or we don't have to read every post on somebody's Facebook. Or we don't have to follow every bit of gossip or current events. We don't have to. Okay, don't act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. The call to holiness is so fundamental, but it's not a call to make ourselves holy, but to allow ourselves to be made holy. We still have a responsibility. We still have decisions to make, but we don't have the power to make ourselves holy. That comes from the Holy Spirit, which we just celebrated on Pentecost. So be holy in every aspect of your conduct, meaning submit every aspect of your conduct to the power of the Holy Spirit. Submit every area of life, even the most seemingly mundane things or insignificant things, submit them to the Holy Spirit. I sometimes remind people of the greatness of the morning offering. We don't always use it as a community, but it's a tradition in the church to start the day by offering everything to God. I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. In other words, what I pray, what I do, what I suffer, what happens to me, what happens in spite of me, I offer it all to you from the very beginning of the day. That's how we can be holy in every aspect of our conduct, because we allow God to be in charge of every aspect of our conduct. That's the right way to live. And it's a very freeing, very joyful, very hopeful way to live. It doesn't change that we live in a fallen world and we have fallen nature and we have lots to suffer. It doesn't change any of that. But it makes it possible for us to see further than that and even to rejoice, like St. Philip Neri. He suffered too, but he never lost his joy in the Lord. So let us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, continue our journey with St. Peter, with St. Philip Neri, with the power of the Spirit, go forward.